I was watching the Olympics and a 13-year-old just got gold in skateboarding. And so I ask you, what were you doing when you were 13? Congratulations, we're all failures. We were doing nothing. But I'll tell you this, I watched the Olympics and I know deep down inside me, there is an Olympian. I've always thought I've had an Olympian inside me. And so maybe it's not too late. It's not too late.
It's never too late.
And that's the theme. It's not too late. Maybe I could still be a 13-year-old gold medal Olympian. It's Straight Talk with Ross. It's Straight Talk with Ross. With TV's Ross Matthews and friends. There's Nikki. There's Malone.
Oh.
There's CJJJJ. Hip, hip, hooray. It's Straight Talk with Ross, and our secret sauce is friendship, laughter, farting, and sex. We love bidets. We love buffets. Oh, and we're not buffoons, because we love our loons. Straight Talk with Ross. Think outside the box. It's everything a podcast should be.
Yes.
I'm sorry about this song. I know that it's all wrong. I blame it on Chardonnay Kwan. Straight Talk with Ross. What
It never gets old, that song.
I'm so honored by all the applause. Hey, let's do the quickest of reach rounds. Malone is here. Thank you so much. Nicole Boyer is here.
Pleasure.
CJ texted me. He'll be here, he says. Okay. But, you know, he has like a real job now out here in Palm Springs. And so he's like, I had to put a fire out at work. And so he's doing that and he'll be here. So stay tuned.
Understood.
Hey, coming up. Unbelievable. She's a legendary comic, a Grammy nominated comic. Coming on the program, Lisa Lampanelli will be here, if you can believe it.
I love her.
Talking about she has changed. I mean, she's a friend of Nikki's. I have been obsessed with Lisa Lampanelli like forever. Mm-hmm. I think I've met her once, I think. But I remember just being really nervous because she was called the Queen of Mean back in the day.
Right, back in the day, yeah.
Yeah, and now she's totally changed to be the Queen of Meaningful. So we'll talk to her about how you make that kind of change. Speaking of change, oh my God. Ladies and gentlemen, you know around here, we have a news reporter. Her name is Sarah Sanchez, NBC. You probably heard of her, of course. Please welcome to the program right now from Palm Springs. This is Sarah Sanchez, NBC. Okay.
This is so funny
she's
what
not
we're
there.
Looking at.
Sarah,
oh God, she's running comes. In.
So what we have like a treadmill and a hippo, stuffed animal.
Hi. So we just came on your camera and it was just the, a couch. Sarah Sanchez, are you there?
I'm here. Hello.
Okay. Now she's reporting live. Hello, Sarah Sanchez. Now I know you're probably exhausted. So Sarah Sanchez has some huge news.
What?
If you don't know, Sarah Sanchez is our chief news correspondent for our Less Than 7 news network. So when you hear the recap, the news recaps, that's all Sarah Sanchez. Sarah Sanchez also happens to be the evening anchor at the NBC affiliate in Palm Springs. I watch you just about every night reporting the news, sitting there in the anchor chair.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
Well, you know I do. You know, I watched before I knew you were a Straight Talker. Ask me why I was up the crack butt of dawn this morning, Nicole.
Why were you up the crack butt of dawn this morning, Nicole?
Well, Sarah Sanchez is no longer on the evenings in Palm Springs on the news.
Well, what?
Sarah Sanchez is on in the morning. She now anchors the morning show on NBC Palm Springs, and Ross Matthews was her guest to help her kick off.
Oh, wonderful. I didn't know that.
I didn't either. Congrats, Sarah.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you. I love that Malone knew.
He did.
Yeah, we were sitting there during the interview. Sarah Sanchez was interviewing me this morning. My phone rang and I looked down after we were done and tossed a commercial. And I go, oh my God, it was Malone calling me this early. He never calls me this early.
That's right.
But you had a psychic hit that I must have been sitting with Sarah Sanchez.
What?
I did. I had a pull. I'm like, why do I need to? I need to text Ross. I need to call him. I need to call Ross. There's some kind of pull.
Yeah.
And they were together. Doing the morning show.
I was together, and let me tell you what it's like. There's, by the way, exclusive footage at thekisskissclub.com. I took it, so you can go and see that. But Sarah and I, so I walk in, and you know I love the news, so I want to know everything. Do you know how they read the teleprompter, the news anchors? Sarah Sanchez controls the teleprompter herself while she's reading it.
That's amazing. Do you do it with your foot or your hand?
A pedal. Do you have a pedal, like a sewing machine?
Yeah.
Some of them are, but we don't have a pedal. I have a hand.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Hand controller. But usually anchors don't run their own controller. They have somebody in the back doing it.
Right.
But I like it. I like being in control.
Yeah.
Interesting. Also, so I wore, I'm like, what do you wear? What do you wear on the local news? For starters, I had to wear pants for the first time in forever because it's hot. And I thought I'd be behind a desk. So I wore sandals. We were not behind a desk. We were sitting down. So my whole body, my whole legs. Mm-hmm. But Sarah Sanchez, what shirt did I wear?
Palms, but of course.
I wore palm shirt. Mm-hmm. So then they're like, Ross, but we want, because Drew Barrymore airs on that station. Ross, mm-hmm. can you record some bumpers that we can play? Like, hey, catch me every day, every weekday at 2 p.m. on Drew Barrymore show, right? And so then I got to sit in the desk and they have that huge screen behind me. So then I got particular because they have all these live cameras. You know, you have like, and as we go to commercial, let's take a look mm-hmm. at the river. It's 89 mm-hmm. degrees out there, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, so they have this huge screen behind the camera, and I did not like the shot behind me. So what did I say, Sarah?
You said, can we change this?
Oh, Lord. I mean, oh, Lord.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, I totally agree. It was because it was a very dreary morning in Palm Springs. It's been raining cats and dogs all morning. And so, yeah, he was like, can you change whatever's happening behind here? I don't like it. You need to change it.
And then I thought, who the fuck put you in charge, Ross Matthews? But they changed it and it was better, wasn't it? No.
Yeah. Well, I know who was doing it too, our producer. He's very particular too. Like he wouldn't just have you behind some sad looking live shot.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Was it a live picture of Palm Springs?
Is that
it was. And what did it change to?
You know, now that I'm reflecting back on it, Ross, you were talking about the penny slots.
Yes. this was on the live show, the live interview, because I just won $10 at Agua Caliente.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big win.
You know, we were kind of like laughing about it, but they're a major sponsor of our news.
Yeah.
So we should have really played it up because they like pay me. They're like, they make sure my check clears. Aww. You know what I mean?
Well, I gave them a shout out. I said that I won $10. I went with Taya. She won $45. But I will tell you this, as I was in that news studio and pulling up, I thought to myself, and do you remember, of course you remember, in Steel Magnolias when Olympia Dukakis bought the local radio station and then became a reporter, mm-hmm. right? All of a sudden occurred to me, I'm like, how could I buy the NBC affiliate for Palm Springs? Because then I could just give myself a morning show. I mean, there it is, right? I want a morning show. There's my life.
Oh my God.
I just drive yonder down the street and it's just, I do it and I, you know, and good morning, Palm Springs. Hey, it's going to be a scorcher today. And so then I'm like, but what is cheaper than a television station? Anything? Anyone, any guesses?
A radio station.
Yeah, but a radio station. And then so there's a radio station here called KGAY, KGAY.
Okay. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
KGAY-FM.
That's right.
And so now my fantasy is like, maybe I build an empire. Like I buy the NBC affiliate, or mm-hmm. Sarah, if I had to buy the ABC affiliate, I'm not going to put you on the spot, but I assume you would quit and just like.
Oh my God.
But then I'd have to change my name.
Sarah Sanchez, ABC, OMG. Okay. So anyway, how much, Nikki, can you just Google like how much it would cost? Or Sarah, could you ask your bosses how much they're asking for that affiliate? And maybe I just buy it.
I don't know. Probably a lot.
I understand. Yeah. But let's start.
They're millions. They're worth millions.
Millions.
Yeah. I can't find a number online, but there's a lot of people in charge with big names and big titles. So
that's
why
they're owned by big like media companies. So we get bought out all the time.
How do I buy one of those?
Hit the lottery. Keep playing the penny slots, babe. Dream big.
Can you imagine if I was, maybe that's the dream. Like I just give up on trying to make television and I just try to own it. Hi, I'm Ross Matthews, station operator and owner of KMIR, Palm Springs NBC. Can you imagine? I'd have
Malone
an office.
Have his own show. Like Malone needs to have his own show. Could you imagine?
Oh, Sarah Sanchez, thank you.
Let me tell you what I would do with the local news if I owned Palm Springs TV station. I would do the morning show, but like later, like, you know, like eight. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like when people are up eight to 10.
Okay.
Right?
Fair.
Then I would do like Wheel of Fortune and, or like Price is Right, but I would play them, but with me doing commentary on them.
Yeah. cute.
So, right. So like I'd shoot it where like they were on a green screen and I was sitting in front of it so I could turn to the camera and talk and be like, look at that lady's hair. She's not going right. to wait.
Well, you know, my grandma would always, she would never try to guess the puzzles on The Price is Right. She would just comment on Vanna's dress.
Thank you.
Oh, I like that.
That's yeah. cute.
And then that was it.
So I would, is your grandma still with us?
No, she's not.
Oh man, because I was going to give her a job. All right. Nice, so exactly. Can't, okay. We got to find someone to do that with me.
Yeah.
And then, so the afternoon, I would probably give Nikki something to do in the afternoon. Like, hey guys, here's what's trending. Here's what's been trending all day. Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know what CJ would do. What would CJ do? I think he'd come in between on commercials with all the feels, like just to make you feel good at the commercials.
He's late night.
I love that. No, I think he should just pop in randomly and say stupid.
Stupid. But then I think Malone would get the late night slot because we would have like Palm Springs After Dark where people could call in, talk about dirty things. Malone would interview them.
Malone, it's just a show with your feet in your bed.
But the
See,
logo,
I would tune into that.
It would be like Palm Springs, but it would be the palm of his hand. You know what I mean? On the logo. Like,
and I'm just springing around.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay. Well, I'm sold.
Well, let me know when you get enough money to make this purchase. I'd love to know when that happens.
Yeah. How much is it? Did you find out?
It's like 1,700 bazillion million trillion. Hmm. Yeah. You got it.
But I appreciate your angle.
I couldn't find
to make it happen.
I had a small fantasy as I was there. Well, Sarah Sanchez, I want to congratulate you. And you guys, you can stream the morning show every morning. How do they do that? Across the world.
You can stream it at NBCPalmSprings.com. You can stream it on NBC Palm Springs Facebook page and NBC Palm Springs YouTube. We're streaming all the time. And I just want to say, too, that I want to thank all of the Straight Talkers. They've been so supportive. And, you know, it's funny because working in news, like if any of the Straight Talkers work in news, you know that it's really not a glamorous job whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And for this, to me, has been more just basically a glorified schedule change. So the Straight Talkers, though, have been so supportive and made me feel so special for, I guess, like realizing, yeah, okay, I got my own show. Yeah. Like I said, you know, I want to do this. And they said, yep, absolutely. We trust you. Here you go. Free reign. So it does make me feel good. But so thank you, Straight Talkers. You've been so supportive. And make sure to watch Ross's segment. I'll make sure to share it on the Facebook group.
Yeah. Once we went to commercial, I said to Sarah, I go, you know, you never asked me about the podcast. Like she never said, tell me about Straight Talk. And I think deep down it's secretly because she doesn't want, wants to maintain the facade of professionalism with the local viewers in Palm Springs. Is that why you didn't bring it up?
Are you embarrassed of us?
No, Malone, never. You should come on the show, Malone.
I want to, I will. I will, just to promote the podcast.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I'd like to come on during the Olympics because then I could do a little gymnastic routine. Maybe the high beam. Nude.
Have you done the high beam?
Have you done the high beam before?
I can do the balance beam. I like girls' gymnastics better than men's. I just fit into that better.
Well, when you have him on, I'd like Malone to come on in a turban and do live readings on the morning news, et cetera. And that's when I'll understand that you aren't ashamed of us, all right?
Absolutely. All spirits come forth.
Yes, all spirits come
forth. Thank you.
You know, it's actually funny. It didn't even cross my mind to mention the podcast. I don't even know why.
Well, now you're thinking like me. All right, here's the deal.
It's terrible.
So do go to thekisskiss.com if you want to see behind the scenes footage. I'm very proud of Sarah Sanchez. Follow her at Sarah Sanchez NBC on all social media. 5 to 7 a.m. At Palm Springs and NBCPalmSprings.com. Stream her, and I'm so proud of you, Sarah Sanchez.
Thank
What's
you.
The name of the show? What's the name of it?
The Morning Show.
With Sarah Sanchez?
The Morning Show.
It should be the morning show with Sarah Sanchez.
That's right.
We'll work on that.
We'll get that next time. Yeah. Okay.
Sorry for not being here when you start. I forgot that I told a dog sitter to like swing on by at 1 o'clock. And so she shows up and I'm like, oh my God.
No worries. Speaking of 1 o'clock, Sarah Sanchez has to be in at work at 1 a.m.
Yeah, are you? Oh my gosh. Okay.
Rough.
Yeah, that is rough.
Hardcore.
All right. Speaking of dog sitter, that's rough. All right, Sarah Sanchez, thank you so much. Sarah Sanchez, NBC.
No H
in Sarah. We don't have time for it.
Congratulations. No.
Thank you so much. Hey guys, I was driving behind somebody recently. It was actually yesterday, and they had a vanity plate. You know, on the driver's license. Mm-hmm. And it occurred to me, like, two things. One, I don't know how you get a vanity driver's license plate.
Well, what do you mean by vanity? Is it the frame or is it the actual plate?
No, like, you know how people have their license plate? It's like words that sort of spell something. It's like,
yeah,
you know.
I'm fascinated. First of all, I don't have time to go to the DMV to get my normal plates. I would love to know how you get, that's a great question. How you get a vanity plate and who's got time for that?
You have to pay extra at the DMV. That's all you have to do.
That's all you have to do. Well, two things, don't know how to get one. And then I thought, what would I get if I got one?
Ooh, what would you get?
Well, I've taken it upon myself, I have made some here, that could work potentially.
Oh my God.
If you're watching on the Kiss Kiss Club, now every time I hold up a new one, I want Nikki, do you just read the letters, okay? And then, because some are easier than others. I wanna see, I put some together for the show if any listeners wanna get some. Nikki, what does this one say?
All right, this has STR, the number 8, TLK.
And of course that would say
straight talk, which yes. I'm shocked that you would put that on your license plate, but you won't mention it during an interview.
That's what I was thinking.
Well, I'm not saying this is what I'm going to get. I'm saying this is potential. And I am actually holding up my iPad and I've mocked up fake license plates.
Wow.
And so I have a few of them and I'm wondering if you could figure them out. Like
it's good.
This one say?
Oh,
okay. Can you read it, Nikki? Read the letters first.
LESTHN, number 7.
Okay. And so what does that say? Malone, what does that say?
Less than 7.
That's good. See? Let's see if they're going to all be this easy.
Fun.
This one is easy. What does this one say?
HOT-450.
This is phenomenal. Why don't we just because these are just going to get harder.
The Looney Bin. This is Ross. How may I direct your call? Thank you for calling the Looney Bin. This is Ross. How may I direct your call?
The remix.
The Looney Bin.
Hello. I'm looking for a loon.
Let's see who Ross lets in.
Attention. Paging all loons.
They're waiting in the Looney Bin. Let's see what loon gets in.
Can I get a loon?
Please come in, loons. Who do we have?
Look at them.
Look at them.
Who do we have today? I want you to play that. We have Bisexual Vagina and Listener Victor here to join in the fun.
Hi, kiddos.
Can you read what this one says, Nikki?
It says HOT-450.
And what is that, Gina? What does that mean?
Hot 450, preheat your oven.
Preheat your oven to hot 450. New listener, it's a long story. All right. Now, Nikki, can you read this one? What does this one say?
MTHRMLK.
Does anybody know what this one stands for?
Oh, Ross.
Martin Luther King? Have a pecker, that's easy.
What is that, Malone? What is it?
Mother's milk.
Yes, of course. So they're going to get more difficult. Because have you ever been behind a car and thought, what does that say? And not been able to figure it out when they have a vanity? Let's see if they get... Okay, this one's a little harder. Nikki, what does this one say?
LUVH20.
And what does that mean, Malone?
Love water. Oh, I love water.
Love water. Yes. Okay. LUVH20. So they're going to get even harder, if you can believe this. What does this letters in this one, Nikki?
BALZDP.
BALZDP. What does this one mean, Malone?
Balls deep.
That is balls deep. Yes. Yes, you got it. You got it. Oh, I'm so happy.
These are really good.
For you. These are great, right? Okay, good.
I love that you're happy for him.
Okay. Now these are getting harder. Happy. What is this one? What are the letters here?
P N K G L D.
An eye exam.
Victor, what is this one? Now say it with, now cover your right eye and read it again, Nikki.
Yeah,
it's
an eye exam.
Q M P.
Understood. No, P N K G L D. What does that mean, Victor?
It means that pink gold.
That pink gold. Yes, you got it. Okay, let's see if they get a little harder.
That was creepy.
Here. This one, what does this say?
P R S T. INAD.
Okay. What is this, Malone? Do you know?
Oh, of course, Pristina Darling.
Yes. Okay. Now this is going to be a little harder. I want you to look at this one, Nicole.
C H R D K W N.
Okay. I see Gina nodding her head. Malone, can you figure this out?
Mm-hmm, yes. Chardonnay Kwan.
Lock him in on Chardonnay Kwan, and that's correct. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Okay, they're going to get harder, I promise you. Okay, Nicole, read the letters here.
F-S-H-N-A-S-T.
F-S-H-N-A-S-T. Malone, can you figure that out?
This one is hard. Fishnet. I don't know what that one
is. Gina is raising her
hand. Got it.
You got it. What is it, Gina?
Fashion astrologer.
That's right. That is
right. Good job, bisexual
pitching. That is correct.
It took a minute.
All right.
All I have to say is, if you're not a member of the Kiss Kiss Club, this would be the moment to become one. This is the awesome.
New listeners checked out.
This one is very difficult. Nicole, spell it.
Okay. C-R-N-E-F-R-T-E.
C-R-N-E-F-R-T-E. Any thoughts?
Oh, I know what it is.
What is it? What is it, Malone?
Carney's farts.
It is Carney Farty from when Carney Wilson came
Love
on
you, and Carney.
Farted. From
Malone. Oh my God.
Great. Anyone want another one?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
These are so fun.
Yeah, they're fun.
Uh-oh. He's looking at it with confused eyes.
I forget
eyes.
What this one is.
D
oh, I know.
R D R I A C K E S. What?
D R I A C K E S on a California license plate.
I think I may have the
I got it.
Beginning
I got it.
Of it.
Nikki, what do you think it is, Nikki?
Doria's cookies.
Doria's cookies.
See, I thought it was Daria something.
Me too. No,
Doria cookies.
It's like Driakas.
Okay. Oh, this is one of my favorites. And I believe one of us should get this. Nikki, read the letters.
L-D-R-A-B-U-S.
L-D-R-A-B-U-S. Malone.
Something to do with a bus?
Just sound it out. If you just have to sound the letters out.
Later about, I don't know.
I think Victor has it, but don't give it away.
Is it? I don't know what that is.
Sound the letters out. What's the first letter?
Labra bus.
No, sound the letters out. What's the first letter?
L-D-R.
And so put those letters together.
Later.
No, L-D-R.
I don't know.
A-B-U-S.
I don't know. This one is stumping me.
Too.
It's elder abuse.
Elder abuse.
Oh my God. Well, because there's no E. That's what, I get it. The L. Okay. That was good. That's a good one.
Okay. This was for CJ. It just says stupid. Okay. Cute. Next. Okay. Now this one is for somebody else. Nikki, please read.
L-Z-R-B-H-L.
Oh. Gina knows it. What is it, Gina?
My favorite, Nikki's laser butthole.
Laser butthole.
I didn't get it. I just got it.
Read this one.
L-S-N-R-V-C-T-R.
That's listener Victor. Nice. Yes. Next one. Oh, look for her. What I made.
B-X-L-V-G-N-A.
Yes, X-L-V-G-N-A. Bisexual vagina. Yes. We have B-L-A-B-S-C-T-I for Bella Biscotti. We have Honard, H-O-N-H-H-O-N-R-D. That is, of course, for Burrito Girl. I made, can you read that one?
C-K-E-L-F-N-T-A.
What's that, Malone?
Is it?
Fanta, something with Fanta, Sakel Fanta, I don't know.
Cookie Elefante.
Oh my God.
I thought you could just do cookie.
That was good, Gina.
What's this one?
U-G-N-G-N-A.
What's that? Yeah. Listener Victor.
That's my boys.
Eugene Ghana.
I just want to point out that I have a little bit of dyslexia. So to any letters that I have missed, I just want to apologize to you.
Now, this one is for a specific listener.
F-C-B-K-G-R-P.
That's for Mark's wife, Diana. It's Facebook group. FCBKGRP. Anyway, was that a new fun game? Did we like it?
Wonderful.
I love that.
Yeah. I love
thank
that.
You if for you, putting that together.
If you at home have think good. Of, thank you so much, honored by that. If you at home have any ideas for license plate we should get, throw them our way. All right. Hey, when we come back, Lisa Lampanelli is here, the one and only. Loons, if you've got a question for her, think of it right now. Maybe I'll give you a chance to talk to her. So much going on in her life, a new podcast. She's on a healthy journey, and she's on a journey to do something different. It's not too late. We'll be right back. There is so much celebrity gossip that it's basically impossible to keep up. But don't worry, there's a brand new podcast that has you covered. From Wondery, Rich and Daily delivers laughs and all the latest celebrity gossip. Hosts Brooke Sifrin and Aresia Skidmore-Williams are comedians, besties, and the perfect guides to give you your daily dose of celebrity gossip. They'll keep you up to speed on all the secret scandals and news in the entertainment world. Stay tuned until the end of this episode to hear a preview of Rich and Daily. And you can listen to Rich and Daily on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, or you can listen to episodes ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app.
Now, back to Straight Talk with Ross Matthews.
Oh my God, I'm nervous. Welcome back to the program.
Why are you nervous? Because Lampanelli's here.
Lisa Lampanelli. She's such a huge deal. She's such an iconic comic. And I'm just going to let her in right now. We're not going to dilly-dally. I mean, she's here in the waiting room. Send her right in. Please welcome, ladies and gentlemen, from just the best of the best of the best, Lisa Lampanelli on the program. Are you there, Lisa?
Oh my God, can't you see me in my beautifulness?
Oh my God, can I tell you, I just told the audience that I'm like nervous to welcome you to the show. Do you know how much I love Lisa Lampanelli?
Yeah. I always assumed you loved me in my own head because, you know, you're one of my favorite gays ever.
Thank you.
And I always assume every gay loves me. That's probably not true. But you, I assume, have a great sense of humor and that you are probably a fan. And I'm obviously a huge fan of yours.
It makes me so crazy. I mean, when I think of the greats, you're there. You're like my icon. So I just think are the funniest people in the history of time.
Yeah.
And I mean, I listened to you on Howard Stern. I've watched you on everything. You made a joke about me once and it was like I felt like, oh my God, maybe I've made it.
What did I say about you? Do you remember?
You said that you've been so busy, you've been busier than Ross Matthews' mouth in a bathhouse.
I am good. I said once, gay roast joke is he's so gay his chapstick is cock flavored.
Oh my God.
Let's talk about the person who's a real C word. It's that Nikki Boyer.
Can I tell you?
Oh, hi, Nikki. How are you?
Hi. Oh my gosh. It's so good to see your face.
By the way, Ross, can we just say that Nikki was nailing it? How great does she look?
Nikki looks phenomenal. She's killing it. And before we get into how you know each other, I want to introduce you to Malone. Malone, Lisa Lampanelli. Lisa Lampanelli.
Hi, Lisa.
Hey, now I'm guessing that you are a gay also because
you know last time I checked I was gay.
Well, I'm sure you've checked your prostate recently.
I need to do that. Thank you for reminding me.
I'm going for a colonoscopy tomorrow and I'm recording this today, so let's say this is kind of meant to be.
Wow. Exciting. Yes.
Malone. Is this part of your cleanse?
Malone, would you do it like Katie Couric? Like when Katie Couric did on the Today Show, she got her colonoscopy. Would you let us do a prostate exam live on the show?
Constantly. I want one every day. And I love that you assume I have a prostate.
Okay, that question was actually for Malone, but Lisa, we'll check your prostate too.
It's okay. I actually liked your answer better than mine. Because I would have said yes, film the whole thing.
Well, you only live once. And wow. You know what's funny? Because Ross, I never really considered myself when I was doing comedy a woman comic. I always was kind of like universal, kind of not a guy, not a girl. So I was, I think, very impressed that people understood me and liked me across the board, despite their sexual orientation. But I was always secretly most thrilled that the gay men loved me.
Of course.
They had disposable income and they didn't have those lousy little kids dragging them down so they couldn't rock the show.
I have to tell you, we're going to get into it, but I mean, you did announce a few years ago that you had retired from doing stand-up comedy. I want to focus that we're going to talk about what you're doing now. I want to talk a little bit about your comedy though, because you were known as like the queen of mean, right? So where you would just say the thing, which is why the gays loved you, because we are a community where nothing's off limits, you know? And those are my favorite kind of comics where they just go like, too. I cannot believe they just said that. But it takes so much balls. Where did you get the balls to start to say the thing that you're not supposed to say?
Can I tell you, it's just something like you work up to it. For instance, like you put a toe in, you put it, it's like anal sex. With enough liquor and lube, it's a shoe in. So basically you put a little feeler out there, you say one word and they're like, ooh, they knew I didn't mean it. The key is when you mean it, you shouldn't say it. So some of these comics out there who would like kind of goof on one ethnic group or one sexual orientation, I'd be like, oh, that's kind of like evil. You're kind of showing what you're prejudiced against. Me personally, I loved everybody, so I made fun of everybody, but it's literally just a progression where you go, well, I got away with that. Well, I got away with that. And that guy seemed pretty happy about it. And I got good fan mail about it back in the days, years ago, when they did fan mail instead of Twitter and stuff. And I go, okay, so it would just kind of evolves naturally.
Well, I'm taking notes. I'm writing this down. Anal sex. Okay. I'll have to try
it. It's important.
Wait, I'll try it one day. So you just sort of got the balls. Now, see, I have too much anxiety of like making people uncomfortable. And I think about the fact that you did tap out and said, I don't want to do comedy anymore. I actually think you had a psychic hit. We call it around here because I don't know that you could be doing the type of comedy now that you used to do. Everybody's so sensitive. You think you could still be doing it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I would have been grandfathered into like the Don Rickles thing where, oh, she's still allowed to do that. But somebody asked me yesterday on another podcast, they were like, did you really retire out of just because you lost the joy in it? I'm like, yeah, because I started to notice my life. You know how we get on autopilot and we're just doing everything? And we're like, well, the next thing is Radio City and Carnegie Hall. And I never get off the hamster wheel. It just was like, I don't like a whole lot of this stuff that I'm doing.
What did you not like about it?
Oh, I enjoyed the stage part enough, but you shouldn't enjoy it enough. You should really love it. So I think 30 years in a job, I kind of felt that's long enough. So I was so lucky because if you ask me right now, is there anything I miss? I absolutely could say no.
I think this is such a fascinating conversation because, okay, you take the show business part out of it. People can't really relate to show business. But if you take the show business out and just think about this as a human being, right? Anybody listening to the program right now can ask themselves, am I happy with what I'm doing? And at a certain point in our lives, if you've been a bank teller for 30 years, that's who you are. That's what the box you're in. You're in the bank teller box. People see you, they see that. You look at yourself, you see that. But what if you never wanted to be, or you're kind of over being? Do you know how scary it is? Think about that. If you were to say, I'm going to wad that up and now choose to do something else.
Right.
How did you talk about balls? I talked to you about your balls to make the joke. The balls to stop making the joke. How did you have that revelation? Was it a voice in your head? What was
it? No, I think, it was just I don't think we notice our lives. So just starting to notice the fact that every Wednesday, I would dread the Thursday because I had a pack and I had to get on a plane and I had to leave my house. And I always loved being in Connecticut where, my folks, where we grew up, and I was just like, oh God, I just hate it. And then I'd be mean and miserable. And now I'm so much more nice.
Were you always searching for happiness? Did you feel like I think of it as you talk about your weight, you have struggled openly with your weight, And I think I understand what you're talking about, where you're just sort of always seeking happiness. And when you're in show business or your career, that can be the next get, the next thing, or the next goal weight, or the next that. So when you retired and you found health, what did that feel like? Did you search for the next thing, or did you just marinate in happiness?
No, of course, because you've lived your whole life trying to earn it, trying to earn respect and love. And it's funny, a friend of mine has a joke about the gym, and he says something like, he sees girls, skinny girls on a, a treadmill. And he's like, no matter how many steps you do, daddy's never going to love you. It's like, you have to stop chasing. And I really can't believe it's taken me about, I guess, 5 years since retirement to stop chasing.
Wow.
Now it's just like, oh my God, it's just fun. A lot of people die if they don't have purpose. I am so happy to have small P purposes and not a big P purpose. So I have a purpose with a small P of like being nice to new comics, guys coming up. A small P purpose about being there for my nieces and nephews. A small P purpose about my two dumbass dogs who happen to have P names, Parker and Yummy. So it's a, and I volunteer at this place in Connecticut for like giving out food and shit. And I'm like, okay, that's a small P. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be big.
I so love I that.
Look, I look at every day and I'm not lying to you. This is the first time I can say this. It, for the past 2 months, is the only time I've ever felt where I look in my book and I don't dread something on that page.
Really?
There's always something I dreaded. So now it's like, oh my God, okay, I get to do Ross's podcast. I get to have a writing meeting tonight with these two new comics. Oh, I get to have a, what did I do today? Oh, ballroom dancing lesson. Like I do, no offense, some gay ass shit.
Yeah, I feel like we could hang out together because I do some gay ass shit too.
And I'm so, I'm what you would probably consider a very boring. I mean, not boring, but nothing I do is like showy or fancy. I basically, I bought my mother's house before she passed away from her. I sold my huge house at the beach and I was gave up my apartment in the city. I was like, oh, I'm living really cute. Like everything's just cute. Mm-hmm.
And the pressure's off.
No freaking pressure.
That's amazing. Like,
literally go to the mailbox and get your freaking electric bill and pay it. That's pretty much it.
I love it. This. I'm starting to venture into this zone, right? Of just the little peas, which I love. I didn't even know what that meant until you just said it. And I love that. Is there any part of you that misses the big P? Do you ever watch yourself or come across a video or see a reminder and go, I have a little twinge of like, you missed that or not really?
And can I just get it? So you went through a list of little P's. Give me what a big P is, the big P.
Well, like purpose of like achieving playing Madison Square Garden or achieving fame. You have to be so single-minded to be rich, famous, and well-known and good at comedy. Like, of course I had to put 100% of my effort in. What a mistake though. Mm-hmm. I should have, and again, I'm not beating myself up, but if I put more effort into family, friends, and hobbies and had minor success, I would have had an easier transition to retirement because my whole life wouldn't have been wrapped up in one thing. Right. So now it's like, oh my God, I get to experiment. I get 30 years. I figure I'll live till 90 because I'm kind of beautiful for 60.
You're fabulous.
And very young looking. And I feel like, okay, I get 30 years to just connect to people from and learn how to not be afraid of, you know, intimacy and friendship and and crying in front of other people. And I'll see cautionary tales on Instagram of people who are still consumed with fame and purpose. And I'll see my favorite show right now is Hacks because that poor woman, Jean Smart's character, is so driven, has to stay on top. And I'm like, oh my God, that was me, despite me not wearing sequins, but the gays love it.
I was going to ask you if you watched Hacks because I think that that character I understand so well. If you guys aren't watching the show Hacks on HBO, yes. Phenomenal. Jean Smart plays a character much like yourself or Joan Rivers, like a comic who is legendary, who is adored. And she is a machine who cannot turn off. And her whole self is her sense of self is wrapped up in her success, right?
Well, when you say this is the greatest, I really saw my former self in it when she says, when the assistant or her manager says, oh my God, she had a cancellation today. She's not good with free time.
Yes.
Oh my
God. I am getting so much better. And it wasn't easy. It took me 5 years to be good with free time. Like literally, oh my God, I read the local newspaper. I don't read the New York Times. I'm not fancy. I get the local paper, sit there with coffee in the morning and watch Dennis the Menace and Hazel and then start the day. I mean, it's easy.
So there's no part of you that wishes you would have milked it more, like done some sort of, you know, Lamps Plus branded Lisa Lampanelli, where if you, if you can't afford one, you could Lisa Lampanelli. No part of you wishes you could go back and just wring out the money, shake the money tree a little bit more.
Well, no, because I'm really lucky that I was brought up by parents who grew up in the Depression. So they were like, save your money and live within your means. I never had a credit card balance in my life. I was lucky enough that they put us through college. You know, that was a gift they didn't have to do. Like we weren't entitled, but they were like, we're doing that for you. I never had debt and I saved a lot of money. So what else am I going to do with the money? Like what else do I need? I literally, the trick is, and this sounds so cliche, but it dawned on me that, oh my God, I'm finally there. Wanting what I have. There's literally nothing that I want that I don't have.
Oh, so I love that.
I hate vacations because it requires packing and leaving. I hate other, you know, I don't want to see a country that I've never been in because I could look at a picture and it's a better view.
That's right.
So I don't need anything. I think the trick to all of us being happy is just go, oh my God, I like this little thing, or I like this book, or I like this dog.
Malone, this is so you.
I feel like Malone is you're living your same life a little bit too, right? Because you were an artist, Malone, and you just stopped doing it and leaned into something else.
I feel, I mean, I'm not at the celebrity status as you, you know, but I was an artist. I was going by a name called Fagsy Malone, and I was interpreted as mean. And now I just go by Malone. And, you know, I saw a comment the other day that said, oh, it looks like Fagsy came back. And I got defensive of it because though I may have been meaner when I started on Twitter and I started out and cutting, I got defensive over that person because that meanness came from somewhere. It came because I was hurting and I'm defensive about, I'm protective of that. Does that make sense?
Yes. And, because the saying hurt people is what we were doing.
That's
so
right.
The hurt part of you was doing that. The hurt part of me was hurting the girl in the hotel who was making noise or whatever. So but also I think it triggers us, you and me, if we're remembered as mean, because kind of part of us inside is afraid we were, and we're sad about
That's
it.
That's exactly right.
100% of this is grief. 100% is sadness. Grief,
yes,
and feeling the death of that character or the death of a dream and going, I did the best I could at the time. My coping mechanisms were getting married. I got married twice. My coping mechanism was food. And I'm like, well, those tools don't work for me anymore, but I forgive myself for using those tools at the time.
Yeah, so that's right.
What works for you now?
I think it's just, you have to feel the feelings and be sad when you're supposed to be sad. You know, yesterday I'm supposed to eat after the surgery. Thank God I kept my weight off that I lost during the surgery.
This was gastric bypass surgery.
It was called the sleeve, which
the
means
sleeve.
They basically cut down your stomach real small.
Yes.
So I can only eat small amounts. And I'm seriously still sad over the fact 11 years later that I freaking, I kept my weight off, but I'll never eat a big meal again. I'll never go to Thanksgiving and feel like I have a meal. And yes, it's a first world problem, but it's still sad. But if we always go, it's a first world problem. I mean, I'm so lucky. I'm so grateful. You never get to actual gratitude because you're not feeling the sadness to get gratitude.
Totally.
So I think it's me feeling every feeling and not pushing it away.
That's right.
So the more you and I think about that former mean character and go, oh, I guess I was misunderstood. And that makes me really sad.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that, because that's exactly how I was feeling. And I just want to say, as far as like enjoying the simple things and things that are right in front of you in the present moment, you know, my place burned down in 2018 in the Malibu fire. I was living in a little guest house, a little dingy thing. I wasn't happy. And the night before, I surrendered to the universe. I just said, take this. I can't figure out my life right now. I wasn't happy. I was being mean on Twitter, all that. And I surrendered it. And the next day my place burned down. And I'm now really grateful for the fire, because it sometimes things need to burn down so that you can start living the life you're meant to live.
I'm
and
so
enjoying the simple things.
You saw the grace in that, because we always bemoan what happens to us instead of, you know, as cliche as it is, it happening for us. Like somebody had to pull that rug out. Like I had stayed in the business long enough and say I was milking it, like you say, suppose it was like last year and then I got canceled, then I wouldn't even have like a legacy, which I don't care about anyway, because you can't control your legacy. I mean, it doesn't matter. Whoever remembers me, great. We didn't even remember Hamilton until 5 years ago. So I really deserve to be remembered. Who gives a shit?
I have a question. If I threw out a few things, I'd love to get your opinions on them in general. What do you think of all these people getting canceled lately? What do you think about that?
It's so weird, because I think, you know, canceling someone for something they do kind of now and still defend is probably okay. Like if, for instance, I was just a person in life and I was like, Ross Matthews is a dirty faggot who deserves to sucking a dick on a Wednesday.
Okay. You probably should be canceled at that point. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But I mean, if I tweeted 10-15 years ago, hey, the Tonys are on, I guess all the glory holes will be empty tonight because the gays are at my house. Don't cancel me for that. Also, I think sincere apologies, I mean, man, you could tell when somebody's sincere and when it's not.
Yeah.
And when it's forced. Like I have always said, when I retired, I went on Wendy Williams and Howard, and I was like, if I hurt a person, I am more than happy to say I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. The problem is people who say these blanket I'm sorries, and I'm always like, dude, oh my God, I could cry. I hurt your feelings. And I've actually had one-on-ones with people.
I was going to ask you, there was somebody famous who you said something about and you actually one-on-one apologized?
Oh, hell yeah. And you know, they did it to me too. I remember Sandra Bernhardt and I had like a little feud because we did the roast of Jerry Lewis at the Friars Club. And, you know, I then wrote something mean because she was mean to me at the roast, not during the roast, but you know, in the party. And I was like, well, geez, I don't even know you, dude.
Yeah.
So she was mean. Then I was mean to her in my famous non-best-selling book, Chocolate Please, and available at Goodwill's and Salvation Army near you. And she mean to me, but then somebody texted me and they're like, oh my God, she just extended an olive branch. She went on Stern and said she was sorry. And I was so moved that I was like, oh my God, that's what you do.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm just going to apologize to, and I don't just apologize to famous people. Like if it's on just an audience member, I once had a guy backstage and I was like, sir, you seem to switch during a certain joke. What happened? And he told me why it bothered him. I said, I totally get it. We cried. I'm such a big puss now. Aww. I just crying. Oh my God. Saying pussy is terrible. It's dehumanizing the female body. Fuck you. My pussy is disgusting. So you just apologize and you connect as a human.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what it's the apology to me is about connection. You know,
well, let me throw something else out. You know, I find, of course, this fascinating. You may not want to talk about it. I will say people never come on here with a list of don't bring up or up or this. And I'm not asking you necessarily to get political, but you did do the Apprentice, right? And you worked closely with Donald Trump. And we're all fascinated by what, I mean, I met him, I've interviewed him a bunch, but what is it like up close? What was your experience?
Well, the thing is, this is what nobody on The Apprentice will tell you, but I always do, because they have these non-disclosures. And I'm like, F you fired me once for NBC already, fire me again. You don't see Trump at all, dude. He literally stands 800 feet from you and gives like the assignment.
Okay.
You don't see him again until the boardroom. You don't even work with him. You work with those dopey kids. So there I am with that Don. And, you know, at the time, Don and I were pretty close because he was defending me a lot because I was a battle axe. You know, I was yelling at everybody. I was a mental patient. I loved it.
Okay.
And they always say, did they make you seem crazier? They made me seem less crazy. Watch that and learn that. They cut out shit that they knew would ruin my career.
Okay.
It wasn't terrible because he wasn't on a lot. It was just, literally, I will tell you, it was the hardest weeks I've ever, I've never done anything more demanding in my life. It's so hard.
They offered it to me and I'm so glad I didn't do it because it sounded terrible. I don't know if I've ever told anyone that.
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I turned it down.
If you had been on during my time there, we would have such fun.
Oh my God.
Because the gays who were on during mine were George Takei, who was great, but you knew he wasn't going to win because he old as fuck. Aiken, which, by the way, one of my favorite Clay Aiken jokes is the only thing that's Aiken is Clay's ass. Cancel me, everybody.
Love it.
So, and what's funny is Clay Aiken came to see me because we became friendly after The Apprentice or during The Apprentice. And I said that joke about him. He goes, Lisa, I thought you'd make more fun of me. And I was like, see, that's a good gay, right?
All right. And I know you have a podcast called Losers with a Dream. Tell me about that.
This is so funny. Okay, check this out, Ross. Talk about things evolving from joy. My niece, Emily, who is just a great girl, drags me one night because I'll do anything for family. She goes, can you go see my friend do an open mic? I said, oh, Jesus Christ. Well, I'm Lisa Lampanelli. I like a nice ego hit because, you know, if I'm walking into a club, everybody sits in my ass. And who doesn't need that?
Uh-huh.
I go in, this kid's actually funny. So we start becoming friends. He introduces me to another guy. I start coaching them in comedy. I get a lot of joy because, Ross, let me tell you something. I don't have many talents. One is knowing what works in comedy. The other is driving, but I'm not doing driving professionally yet till I burn through my money.
Understood.
So these two guys,
can you imagine Lisa Lepinelli who picked you up in an Uber?
I would be so happy.
No, I would be a high-end limo driver. I make friends with these two guys and I noticed they're straight guys who are very, you know, butch. They're not femmy at all. They are so sensitive. I have never met two more sensitive straight guys who really tell the truth. Every week they discuss such an intense topic. And then I come on for like a half hour and life coach them and read them the riot act and make fun of them. I like to hear these intimate subjects from a different point of view.
Hello, you're preaching to the choir. I mean, that's why I've been a proud straight man doing this show for so long. Just
you
to sort
are
of...
so straight. I can't even believe it. I like to hear me on a weekly basis. I am on Losers with a Dream on Apple, Spotify, and up your mother's ass.
Listen, our listeners are the most loyal, amazing listeners. And, you know, they let us have whatever conversations we want to have. Like sometimes we are so stupid, we do the dumbest shit. And sometimes we have the most fascinating conversations with the most fascinating people. So when Nikki told me you were interested in coming on, I know it's taken us a while to schedule this because my schedule has been crazy. I cannot tell you how worth the wait this conversation has been.
Right.
And how, like I really was nervous to talk to you because I just, like I said at the beginning, I think of you as the best of the best of the best. And you have not disappointed. It also does not, it makes complete sense to me that you and Nikki would vibrate on the same level because you both are two of the most giving, kindest, empathetic, good people in the world. So thank you. Thank you. And
Ross, I am honored to be on the show. I love your work. I am just very happy for you that you have done it. I mean, you make it look easy, and that's the hardest thing in the world to do. So God bless you. And I'm happy for you, former fagsy, that your house burned down and that you got a new life. And Nikki, you are a good straight bitch.
Yeah.
That's great.
Love you, Lisa.
Everybody, please follow Lisa Lampanelli at Lisa Lampanelli, LAMPANELLI, Lampanelli. Thank you so much. Also, Losers with a Dream is her podcast. You can hear more from her every single day. Lisa, your family here now. You have an open invite. Anytime you want to come back, you come. And to anybody listening, you know, think about if what you're doing is bringing you joy. If you're small, listen, I've had a small pee and a big pee bring me joy before, but think about if you're finding joy and it's not too late to find it. Thank you, Lisa Lampanelli, for reminding us that. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back with much more straight talk on the way. Quick question. Do you own or rent your home? Well, sure you do. And I bet it can be a whole lot of work. But you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it so easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance right along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because, honey, you already have so much to do around the house. So take it easy. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
On my knees for her teat. On my knees, mother's milk from her.
Another one. Teat. DJ Dairy Queen.
Mother's milk. Ha, Patty C.
2%.
My parents give me just what I need.
Full fat.
Slurp it up. Liquid gold. Utterly sweet. Tangy bold. Well endowed. Mature and swole. Growing pains. Crazy gold.
Nutritious and delicious. It brings me to my knees. The milk that comes from mother is the only milk I need.
Teat, teat, go ski, ski, ski. Ah, shooting warm, milky goodness all over me. Slurp, slurp, smoothie silk. Slurp, slurp. Mother's milk.
Yes. And welcome back to the program. Wow. Mm-hmm. Hey, Lisa Lampanelli, Nikki, thank you so much again for hooking us up with her.
Thank you I just want to squeeze her.
And I know that booking her has been a real pain in the ass for you.
Yeah. It's Speaking of pains in the asses. Yeah.
So I say that because Nikki informed all. I say, anybody have anything they want to talk about? And Nikki's like, yeah, no. And I was, well, what is it? What could it be? And she filled me in. She filled Malone in. I don't know the whole story. I just know one word. I can't spell it, but I know it. Okay. How do you spell? Malone, how do you spell this word?
H-E-M-O-R-R-H-O-I-D.
I don't even know.
That's right.
I don't even know.
Did I get it?
Yes.
Hemorrhoids.
How
Nikki?
Would you put that on a license plate, though?
Nikki,
that's what I want to know.
Your poor laser bee butthole has a hemorrhoid?
So I've been very open about what's going on my butthole, right? I've told you about it being lasered, and I thought I can't just share the positive, right? I can't just share the clean, shiny version of my butthole. I need to share all versions of my
butthole. What is going on? Okay. Tell me the whole journey.
The journey was last week after the podcast and my birthday happens, I am so on a high, and then all of a sudden I'm like, ooh, what's that? So what starts off is what feels like a normal hemorrhoid, where you're like, oh, there's a little something down there, right? You kind of just go with it, eat some extra fiber, be good to your butt, bidet the shit out of it, right? All
I was
going to
say, I wonder if actually hooking up your bidet would have helped.
If you remember, I actually did hook up. I'm the only one that hooked up the bidet, and I did a video about it on the Kiss Kiss Club.
How dare you?
So
I was talking to Malone. Maybe if he had hooked up his bidet, it would have helped your butthole. You never know.
I have not hooked it up yet.
Well, I think you should, just as a precautionary tale, because what is going on downtown, no one should have to endure. It was so bad, you guys. I went to the emergency room this weekend.
No.
Yes.
God,
what's going on?
So picture this. Okay. And in all seriousness, like, it's a concern for me because my father had colon cancer, and this is a sign. I'm all in the clear. I've had my colonoscopy, but it's just concerning because it is hereditary. So, I was like, oh my God, what is going on down there? So I asked Tommy to look, and he was like, oh, and I said, take a picture. And then I saw the picture and I was like, oh, what is that? So
wait,
picture
this. Okay,
that's true love. That's true love. That when is. Your boyfriend can take a picture of your hemorrhoid.
So tell me what you saw.
Height I mean, of love.
Have you had, do you have a picture of your butthole pre-hemorrhoid so you can compare it?
Kiss Kiss Club. Put it on the Kiss Kiss Club.
Oh, please. Oh, please.
Nikki, please.
Like a makeover. Okay. No, I did not take a pre-hemorrhoidal butthole photo.
Can I just recommend that to all our listeners now?
Yes.
Take a picture of your butthole now. So when or if you have a hemorrhoid, you have something to compare it to.
So cute.
And part of the reason that I'm coming out and saying this is I just didn't want anybody to feel so alone with their hemorrhoidal issues. Okay. And I realize a lot of people have this. So I just wanted to, you know, use my time wisely. And
what did it look
give
like?
Voice. So imagine, and I'm not exaggerating, the size of a grape, a hard grape that feels like an itchy hot poker at the same time hanging out of your asshole.
My God.
And you immediately start to panic because you're like, what is happening? So I went to the emergency room and I was scared with the Delta variant and going to the emergency room. Luckily there was nobody in there. So if I give you any indication of how much of a struggle it was for me, I canceled all my plans this weekend, all my birthday dinners, couldn't go to my birthday dinner, couldn't go to my birthday lunch. Instead, I was like, can you just keep taking pictures of my butthole? Cause I think we need to go to the ER, They were wonderful there. It was clean and quiet. There was no one in the ER. Mm-hmm. And here I am as people, you know, you come into the ER and most people are like, he's missing an arm. Someone needs to sew it back on. I walk in. I'm like, I had a really bad hemorrhoid. Can you help me?
No, let me ask you a question.
Were you crying?
Were you crying?
Yes.
Could you walk? Can you sit? How does it affect you?
It hurts to walk. It hurts to sit. It hurts right now. But more than anything, out of the blue, it'll feel like someone just takes a poker and rams it into your butthole. I don't know if it's a nerve pain.
Like razors on your hole. Yeah.
Exactly. Like razors.
Did you have to lay on your tummy and they like examine you like that? I mean, I don't understand.
Great questions.
Yeah.
So she says, yeah, she says, put the robe on and leave it open in the back. And I'm like, okay. And I lean on my side and she says, all right, I'm going to take a look. Mm-hmm. And so I feel, she puts her rubber gloves on and yeah. I feel her. And of course I'm making inappropriate jokes because I'm uncomfortable and vulnerable.
Give me an
and
example.
I'm like, be careful down there. Shit might hit the fan. She's like, okay.
Oh.
Right. Oh, she's
very
like,
very nice. Mm-hmm. That's cute.
Like, yeah. Yeah. And then I said something about like, this is, you know, this is something about a grape. I made a joke about grapes and I said, I'm sure you're not hungry right now. And she was just not having any of my sense of humor. And then I started to cry again because I was vulnerable. But she says to me, I'm going to open your butt cheeks. And I hear her go, oh, and then she's silent. Right.
Oh.
And then she says, I'm going to stick my finger in and do an internal exam.
Oh.
And oddly enough, that was the best part because it gave a little relief. It was like, oh, and then for a moment I said to Tommy, oh, this is why bottoms like it. Right. Oh. Like, oh,
maybe it was it so cool and refreshing.
It was cool. It was refreshing. It was soft, but it was like, yeah. kind of like invasive, but at the same time, kind of like, oh, okay. And hemorrhoids itch a little bit. So when you get yes. up in there, it kind of relieves
it.
Some of the itch.
Yeah,
kind of
scratched
so it. Okay. Keep going. Keep just.
Okay.
I love this.
So then
we're all on the edge of our seat.
edge of my seat, mm-hmm. my hemorrhoid seat.
Mm-hmm. And, but I wondered like, did she think my butthole looked nice and lasered more than some of the other buttholes?
Oh, sure.
Seen, right. Like yeah. she's probably seen some really hairy,
she's
nasty
very impressed,
buttholes. And
probably.
I'm pretty impressed. So she says to me, they're not internal, which is good news.
Correct.
There's nothing we can do for you.
What?
I thought they were going to cut them out and I was fully prepared for a lancing situation, but she mm-hmm. said, that's not going to happen today. And so I was a little disappointed because I was like, just please cut these things out of my butthole.
Right.
And she said, these could last for a while and you may have to see a colorectal surgeon, which I am doing
doctor.
Tomorrow. And I will document it on the Kiss Kiss Club.
Oh my
I'm
God.
Sure everybody can't wait
Wonderful.
To see my butt.
So that's wait, did content. She give you some sort of topical cream, something?
But see, this is
good
the thing. This is what I went to the ER thinking they were going to give me a magic potion. She was like, basically suppositories and sitz bath, which I had been doing. So there's,
oh, I love sitz baths.
Here's the point of me telling everybody the story is A, because I'm a, you know, I just like to share TMI, but B, if you ever have this situation, please go get it checked out because it could be something bigger than what you think it is. But also there's really nothing you can do except wait 2 or 3 weeks. So go get it diagnosed, see if it's something wrong. And if not, you are just going to literally have to sit on it for
yeah.
weeks, which is what I'm doing right now.
Nikki, I thank you for giving. And like, I just want to be honest with you. Like, you know, we could make a bunch of jokes about it, but we're not going to, honestly, like we're not going to do that.
Who's got a good bad joke to share today on Straight Talk with Ross Matthews Podcast?
Hemorrhoid edition. Yeah. All right. Okay.
What do you call a dinosaur that uses hemorrhoid cream?
What?
A mega sore ass.
Oh, phenomenal.
What do
Malone.
You get from a stripper with hemorrhoids?
What?
A prolapse dance.
That's the wrong
God,
boo.
It sounds like a bull, like I'm at the bullfight.
I'm trying to find my boo sound
the
effect.
Bull ring. Didn't it sound like...
yeah,
how do game. Gays? How do gays refer to hemorrhoids?
How do gays refer? What? How do gays
refer? How do gays refer to hemorrhoids?
No, I don't know.
Speed bumps.
Oh, yeah. I like it.
Nikki, mm-hmm. I'd suggest you attend a hemorrhoid seminar, but I heard they're sold out with sitting room only. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Oh, really phenomenal.
Nikki, Nikki hemorrhoid.
Well, Nikki, listen, I wish your butt well. So like this very moment, what do you feel?
I wish your butt well.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Right now, I'm sidetracked and I'm focused on this podcast, so it feels fine. But like I know at some point I'm going to have to sit on the toilet and that's terrifying. But I have done your Metamucil each morning and that has helped me. So thank you for that tidbit.
You're welcome. Well, we bring the loons in. Do the loons have a press? Let's see. They wanted a press conference on your butthole. Any questions? For Nikki's butthole, listener Victor
over here. Yes, Nikki, sorry that your hemorrhoids tainted your birthday plans. I'm kind of new to the whole hemorrhoid situation. Do you just get this randomly? How do you get this?
It's a brilliant question, and thank you for asking, because previously when I had them like 15 years ago, it's because I was going through so much stress and I was on the road a lot. I'm not stressed right now. I'm actually quite happy in my life, but it's from lifting furniture at my Lakiki house. Too much heavy lifting will actually create a hemorrhoid. So
she pushed her hole too far.
Yep. Yeah, I pushed my hole too far. Victor, you better be careful with your boho while you lift in your weights.
That's right.
Yeah. Hey, Victor, can I ask a bonnet bitch, what outlet are you from, by the way? We didn't get that.
From Lesbian Louise's Maggoty Fanny Gallup's news outlet.
Thank you. All right, bisexual vagina.
I am from Nikki's Lasered Butthole, EsquireMagazine.com.
Oh,
my God. So this is extremely relevant. we have every single member on the case right now. My biggest question, does this affect sex?
No, it does not. I'm happy to say that.
So you're able to have sex. Does the intercourse actually itch, like scratch the itch in there? Do you feel? No,
that's
you don't.
That's a good question.
Does Tommy like see it if you do like doggy or something?
100%. There is no avoiding this fucking grape in my butthole.
So are you doing it that way, or is it strictly missionary while your friend is down
you know
ass?
What? I think at this point, my mother is mortified right now.
No, she's not.
Donna Marie.
Yeah, exactly. Honestly, I think we are curbing the sex for the next probably week or so, because nobody's got time for that. And when your boyfriend turns into doctor mode, where he's like taking pictures of things and zooming in and going, what do you think about this? I think that kind of kills the mood. So he's officially probably turned off, but I'll take care of him later.
Thank you so much.
Will you be Snapchatting your hemorrhoid or Instagram story?
Now Snapchat me that hemorrhoid.
So cute.
What did we learn today? Did we learn anything today you want to mention?
I think it's really important to know we learned that Lisa Lampanelli does not have a prostate.
Thank you. Thank you. Victor, what else did we learn today?
That Lisa Lampanelli is having her colonoscopy tomorrow.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Well, that's what we learned today. Hey, if you want to follow Lisa Lampanelli at Lisa Lampanelli, go to lisalampanelli.com. Losers with a Dream is her podcast. Sarah Sanchez, make sure you're supporting Sarah Sanchez. Follow her at Sarah Sanchez NBC. No H in Sarah. We don't have time. And go to NBCPalmSprings.com to stream her morning show, 5 to 7 a.m. Pacific. You can check out my interview. It's on their website as well. If you want to follow Gina, she's Gina Finio, F-I-N-I-O, on all social media. Listener Victor is Listener Victor. Bella Biscotti is The Real Bella Biscotti. Cookie Elefante is Cookie Elefante. Burrito Girl is So Chunky. That's our loons, how you can follow them. CJ did not get a chance to make it in today.
I think that if he was going to pick a show to miss, it would not the listen at Lampanelli part, obviously he would have loved that, but I think probably would not have been interested in my butthole.
Of course he would. Hello, he's a human being with a beating heart. If you want to follow Nikki Boyer, you can just spot the grape and follow it home. No, you can follow her at Nikki Boyer on all social media, talkitoutlifecoach.com, and Dying for Sex is the podcast. If you want to follow Malone, you can follow him at It's Mr. Malone on all social media, automaticpenwriter.com. Book your reading now. And it's gay podcast available on Patreon. CJ is not on social media right now, but his podcast is Can We Kick It? The show is Hello Ross Pod, and I'm Hello Ross on all social media. Ross, I want to thank you all. I love you all. And I want you to think about what we talked about today. What you're doing isn't what you want to do, it's never too late to change it. Which is why, ladies and gentlemen, as we go out, I'm going to stretch for my career. Mark it, 2024, I will be a 13-year-old gold medalist.
It's Straight Talk with Ross. It's Straight Talk with Ross. With TV's Ross Matthews and friends. There's Nikki. There's Malone.
Oh.
There's CJJJJ. Hip hip hooray.
Eat it.
It's Straight Talk with Ross. And our secret sauce is friendship, laughter, farting, and sex.
Nope.
We love bidets. We love buffets. Oh, and we're not buffoons, because we love our loons. Straight Talk with Ross. Think outside the box. It's everything a podcast should be.
Yes.
I'm sorry about this song. I know that it's all wrong. I blame it on Chardonnay Kwan. Straight Talk with Ross.
Wow.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.